Good evening and welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. It's got to be 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday evening. We're in beautiful Willoughby, Ohio. That's just a little bit east of downtown Cleveland, Ohio. Beautiful night tonight. And we are here to talk about small business, defined as 1 to 25 employees. Any industry makes no difference. That's the size we like. Sometimes we wander off the reservation to bigger clients, but basically we like the smalls. And we have a lot of fun. When I say we, I'm talking about my long-term business partner in business coaching. We have a company called Maximum Value Partners, and that's who we deliver our wonderful services to, and we have fun doing it. And what we do on Wednesday nights for an hour is talk about situations involving small business. And we encounter them all day when we talk to our clients, and we try to pull together some of the more salient ones or ideas that come from these discussions and make a little show out of it. And again, I want to stress, we have fun doing it. And since we've been doing this for so long, there isn't too much we haven't seen in the small business world. We're not talking about making your product or service. That's your expertise. We're talking about the business side of business, the numbers, the marketing to get sales, the HR issues, anything that comes up. And it's surprising how repeatable these problems are when you start to involve discussions with owners of small businesses. That's what we do. We help them out, and we again, I keep stressing, we have fun doing it. We'd like you to be part of our program tonight. And copy this number down, 440-946-7820. That's the number you can call tonight. If you hear anything that sparks you, give us a call, whether it be plus or minus. We can argue and we can agree. We can do both. So I'm going to talk about basically tonight, not just me, but Adam.
You keep talking, Jack. It's all right.
I'm just kind of rambling around here tonight. You know what, you owners of small businesses, and I've been one, Adam has been one, we still are. We own businesses. We bought them, sold them, valued them, worked them out of problems, we didn't personally go through bankruptcy. We bought companies and through the bankrupt process or the secured sale process. There isn't too much we haven't seen. And what we're going to talk about tonight is you, the business owner, when you retire, when you sell your business, if you win the lottery, a number of things which we'll get into. The point I'm making is that basically what happens? What do you do when you sell your business, for example? How do you figure out what you're going to do next? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How do you figure out what to do next? Adam, you're an independently wealthy guy. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do next when we have money is not the object? Doesn't mean you don't need more, but it's not the object. You got a long life field ahead of you. So what do you do when you basically retire from your business?
Well, that's certainly one of those scenarios, and welcome everybody to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. One of the times that can happen, Jack, when you start asking that question of what do I want to do next, or what should happen next? That's a question you start asking day one with your business, right? Even as you're thinking about starting up the company, so what should come next? And as you're getting through your business, and day to day, things will come up. It can come up when you're having a really, really bad day, a really bad week or month or year, all of a sudden you say, what am I doing here, right? You may want to kind of get out of it, or it may be the point when you're in your business too, where you actually things maybe they calm down a little bit, Jack. They slow down a little bit, and you actually have some time to think and reflect upon things.
Boy, I don't know, Adam. I don't think it works that way. I think all of a sudden you get into your business and it's consuming you. Your small business, and as you start to compile those years, you get those up and down emotions, there's no doubt about it. But it's rare, I think, from my experience, that people, small business owners especially, plan the demise or the end of their business. They don't do it. All of a sudden, it appears. they are now no longer, they sold their business, they have to retire for whatever reason, or they do retire. And here their business that they've been running for decades, perhaps, maybe less, basically is going to be gone. Well, what do you do? Yeah, how in the world do you handle that?
Well, that's a question, and those thoughts are what often will slow things down, because you start thinking about it before. You're talking about if you have a sale or a transition, right, Jack? And so often what can slow down or even stop that sale or transition is to find an answer to that question. Right, what happens afterwards? And you know, I have a guy in my Rotary Club who's I think he was in a war. He wasn't World War II, but he was close, right? He was just after World War II, and he talked about a couple of guys of his in the Navy. They were three young guys, Jack, and they were all gunners, gunnermen. I think that's the official
yeah, that's
term.
I won't take your thunder on that one.
It's okay.
So, I know where you're going with that.
Well, so what happened was, you know, these young men joined the service at age 18, and the way it works, he said, you know, you get 20 years in and you can retire. You get 20 years of active duty in and you can retire, Jack.
Good deal. That, you know, that still is a good deal, but go on.
So what happened? Well, this is a life lesson of something that Warren was telling me about. He said, you have to retire to something. Versus just retiring. I said, what do you mean? So he told me a story about these three young guys. So the three young guys, separate guys, they each retired to basically their rocking chairs in the back porch. They had nothing to retire to. And he said, you know what? Within 2 years, all three of these guys were dead.
Wow.
They're dead before the age of 40.
Well, it didn't have anything to do to practice the skill they learned in the service, did it?
Yeah, they weren't sure. Shooting themselves or shooting somebody else. He just said it's almost like they died of a broken heart, a lonely heart. Or again, and you say this all the time, Jack. You talk about with our Romeo groups. And Cy, just for those of you who don't know what Romeos are, you know what they are, but you may not call them this. So,
wait, where would they see them? Maybe.
Yeah, that's what.
Go on. Would they see them in Panera? Maybe every.
Yeah,
morning?
Your local coffee shop, or
would they see them at Starbucks? Maybe not. It's
not
too
Starbucks.
Expensive.
Yeah, it's McDonald's. McDonald's is going to be a good one.
That's right.
The local diner, right?
Taking advantage of senior specials and so, things of that nature.
So picture a table of 4, 8, 10, 12 people around a table. Average age about what? 75, 80 years old?
Yeah, I would say somewhere in that range. Certainly between 70 and 80.
Quite often, several different discussions kind of going on. Nobody listening to each other, just talking about stuff and whatever it might be. Anyway, these are called Romeo groups, folks. And what does that stand for? It's an acronym, Romeo. Retired old men eating out.
Okay. Okay.
So many folks will graduate to that, Jack. Right? All of a sudden, here you are. And we're sitting around talking about the old days and what used to be and maybe some current events or whatever it might be, but there's not a lot of talk about the future and what's next.
Is there a comparative acronym for females?
To Romeo?
I better write this down before I say it. You know, retired.
Yeah, retired old ladies working or eating out. Rolio.
That's
Rofio. Well, the challenge is with that.
But we don't see them. They don't gather like that.
Well, no, because we have a generational issue, right? So we're talking about women in their 70s and 80s. Chances are most of them didn't work outside the home full time.
Well, that's
a few
true.
Of them might have, right?
That's true.
So they have their female groups, Jack, but it's often the Red Hat Society, the Women's Guild, the Knitting Club, a church group, a social group of some type and kind. They often have that. Or as some friends of my wife's created, they created what they call a church group, Jack, where they get together on Sundays, and they'll get together and they'll confess all their misgivings or missteps throughout the course of the week. And so they call it their version. So the females have their stuff, but they've had their stuff in place probably even going back to their time when they had young kids, and they had different groups that were kind of set up, different versions of this that were set up.
Well, it's more fun to talk about old men. So
well, it's easier to pick on
old men get kicked around.
Yeah, especially old white men. Let's start beating up the old white men, Jack, right?
That's right. People like to do that.
That's right. Why is that? I mean, it's a misunderstood, and it doesn't have to be that way. I know you get invited to a lot of those Romeo groups, Jack, and they've probably kicked you out of a few of them because you don't just sit there and wallow in the stuff, and you probably challenge them a little bit, and they're like, who is this jerk coming in and trying to push
That's
us
right.
to do stuff and do something else? Does he know I'm retired on a fixed income?
How can I do that, right? I mean, they don't want to do anything. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for the rest of your life? Let's make some marks. You know, my biggest bugaboo is politics today. Basically, I have these young women who keep maligning old white men, especially. I'm an old white man. I don't like that. And I'm trying to mobilize old white men to kind of, let's do something about this. Why not? You know, we could have some fun doing it and be the counter-revolution to people who are taking shots at us. You know, we've helped make this country great. Why shouldn't we be standing up and be proud of that?
Well, that's a good thing to potentially do. So for folks who are thinking about that or asking the question of what do I do next, or perhaps you're in one of those Romeo groups or you're thinking about exiting the company, one of the things to think about is what are you going to do? Because let me come back to the comment I was making earlier, Jack, in terms of why this can be a stopper for a lot of exits for people, because they're afraid. If they don't know what's next, and if what they've known day in and day out, whether it be for the last 5 years, 20 years, 50 years of coming to work, and they have so much of their identity tied up in that business.
You're absolutely right with that, Adam.
And there's habits and there's routines. There's so much that's there to now step up away from that. All of a sudden, one day you aren't going there anymore. Well, but you still like it. And you still kind of want to be there. So, you know, you have to have something that's drawing you out. It's drawing you to something else, something that's going to be next. And
it's difficult to have something comparable in that draw out that you're talking about to several decades, if that's what it is, of running your business. So you got running your business in one camp, and then you got, hey, I'm trying to break into something else. And you've been in your business for 25 years. You've been in something else. Maybe if you're fortunate enough, but I don't really buy that. I think you can start something anytime at any age. And basically, you can get your identity reshaped as you should, one way or another. You don't have to hang on to the business that you started. You're not going to do it effectively anyway, for the most part. It's got to be transitioned, sold, whatever it's going to be.
Well, it's very true. It's a question people wrestle with. And again, as I said earlier, I think it happens throughout the course of the business. It gets more intense usually when we're considering or thinking about or looking towards an exit, Jack. But it's there. And we have some stories we can share where we've got clients who've been through this. Again, whether it be early on stage or, again, at times we all go through a part of our business where things will start to kind of calm down or settle down a bit. Now, maybe because the business is getting a certain level of maturity, there may have been an adjustment in the business, whatever it might be, but all of a sudden things will start to shift or change, and all of a sudden there'll be some calmness. And you'll have some time to reflect on these things. And it's important to really spend some time thinking about this, because it often takes time to figure out what that answer is going to be. And we hear a lot of answers, Jack, and I probably have a top 3, 4, or 5 here. I can maybe I'll do a top 4.
Yeah,
top 4 is probably
away.
Pretty good.
Top 4 is good.
Well, I'll give you a top 4 in terms of what I'll call some of the most common, but perhaps some of the dumbest answers to in terms of what I'm going to do next. You guys stay tuned to hear that, though, when we come back. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
All right, stick around. We've got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini. If you want to be part of our program tonight, 440-946-7820.
That's a special number for tonight only. So
that's right.
Write it down for tonight.
Paper, swallow it after you're all done tonight.
That's right. That's straight out of, what is that, Mission Impossible?
That's right.
Get your orders, then you destroy them, right?
That's correct, though.
That's a good thing. All right. Mm-hmm. So as we're heading to break, the topic tonight is how do you figure out what to do next? And we're framing this around the biggest time this kind of comes up is when somebody's looking to sell or exit their business, or maybe they've already exited the business and they still haven't answered the question, Jack, as far as what do I do next? And I said going to break, Jack, we get a lot of answers that I think are kind of stupid, but they're common answers. Okay.
They're common because things haven't been thought through long enough.
Right.
But go on.
So I'm going to rank these in order. I'll give a top 5. 5 being what I'll call the least stupid. And then the number one being probably the most stupid. Well, it's hard to rank these. I'm going to throw them out there, and maybe we'll shuffle them out. But in any case, one of the answers we often hear, Jack, is say, you know what, Jack, I'll just start another business.
Hey, my boy, what a great retirement idea.
Right? We hear that once in a while. Again, so it's not necessarily a bad answer, but it's they kind of throw it out because that's what I know.
That's right.
I know business. I know my business. Maybe I've owned a couple of different businesses, but you know what? I'll get into another business. That's what I'll do. I'll leave this one and get into a different one that maybe is related to what I'm doing, or maybe it's totally separate, totally different from what I'm doing, but just something different. So that would be number five on this top five list, Jack. Okay. So another, get another business. Number four. Hey, you know what I'm going to do, Jack? I have all this free time now. You know what I'm going to do with that free time?
What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, besides go visit some Romeo groups, I'm going to do some volunteering, Jack.
Hey, all right.
Some volunteering. Now, why would I call that a stupid answer? Well, let me tell you something. It's a stupid answer if you haven't done any volunteering to date. Okay? If you haven't found time to volunteer, and whatever that means to you, whether that means going to the local school to read to third graders, whether that means dedicating your time on some nonprofit board of directors or something in between, I don't care what it's going to be. But if you haven't found the time to do some volunteering work during your, I guess I'll call it working years, Jack, it is highly, highly unlikely you're going to all of a sudden go from 0 hours a week or a month to 40 hours a week or 40 hours a month of volunteering.
I agree. Doesn't usually work. I agree totally.
So your chances are you aren't built that way, right? So that's number four on our five list, Jack.
But hey, I got all this time now.
I know. So I'm wrestling with these because these top three, you can make an argument for me, Jack, that any one of these three could be number one. But I'm gonna pick number three here, and we can debate here in a minute. Number three. Hey, you know what I'm really gonna do? This is it, Jack. I'm going to do this because I'm going to make up for some lost time here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend so much time with my grandkids, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, because I'm going to love them and squeeze them and spoil them and do everything that I didn't do with my kids or that I regret with my kids. And missing game. I'm going to go to every game, every practice, every recital, you name it. I'm going to be there, Jack.
And they're going to love me, and they want that. They want to see Grandpa coming. They want to see Grandpa coming to the games every time they turn around. Especially as they get a little older, or if they are a little older. There's a place for Grandpa, but it isn't every day, that's for sure.
So I'll let that one sink in, and Jack, you can come back to that in a little bit, because you might have that as your number one. That's why I'm saying it could be number one, two, or three. I got number three. All right. Number two, I'm switching. I have listed here. As I'm talking, I'm thinking number two should be this, okay? Here's what we're going to do, Jack. You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do when you...
I feel like my old friend from Bailey Building and Loans. All right? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely.
From It's a Wonderful Life?
George Bailey.
George Bailey. And what did he say? I'm going to see the world.
That's what he wanted.
I'm going to travel. I'm going to travel around the world and see everything I've ever thought about and see the pyramids and this and that. I'm going to see everything, Jack. I'm going to travel the world. No problem at all, right? What do you think?
Nope. Doesn't work that way.
All of a sudden, I got health issues. I'm like, okay, we'll come back to that. That's why this is kind of often a dumb answer. So those are answers five through two. And I got number one here, Jack. And I'm sure you could probably guess it. Maybe the audience might, because they're probably wondering where this number is. Here's the number one stupidest answer for what I'm going to do after I exit the business, Jack. I know that's why you're laughing. You're giggling. You can't even see what I'm saying, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to spend so much time with my spouse. It's going to be like we're like back before when we were just dating and on our honeymoon. And the first couple of years of marriage, we're going to be together all the time, Jack.
We might
24/7.
Might even rent an RV and just drive around the country for the next decade.
What a way to combine number one and two, Jack. See, Jack's thought about this before, guys, right? He's going to combine this time with the wife, spouse, and traveling.
Spouse and partner. We got to make sure we're all inclusive here with our
couple. Whoever your significant other might be, whoever you want to, however you do it.
I want to spend more time with my spouse. Now, I'm laughing. Why? Why am I laughing? Especially if she's listening.
She knows. She's laughing with you or at us, whatever one it is. Yeah, she is laughing too.
I love my spouse. I love her. Married a long time, but I don't know if I want to be joined at the hip every day and start adjusting my life and my I don't know what you'd call it. What would you call it? Not freedom. That's the wrong word. That one comes to mind. You know, having a job, having friends and an identity that is just outside of your marriage, whoever that may be, is very time-consuming and important, and it becomes you. The two, you know, your identity with the company is huge. Your identity with your wife is huge, but in a different way. All of a sudden, the challenges and the stimulation involved with those challenges in your business, they're gone. And you have another situation here that you have to adapt to. And it may not be as stimulating. So what happens then? Uh-oh.
Yeah, you're a different person now than you were when you first met, when you were first dating, when you were first together. And there's your point. Life happens. Things kind of, you've got your routine that's now changing, but...
And she's got her routine.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're hanging around, bugging her, and it isn't all bliss, that's for sure. And those people who are into that know it. So it's difficult to retire.
Right.
It is very difficult.
So let's circle back to what we were talking about in the first segment for a second, Jack, in terms of the Romeo groups. And a big reason why those Romeo groups exist, I can guarantee you, almost every one of those fellows sitting around the table at the local coffee shops or the McDonald's, their wives are telling them to get the heck out of the house, get out of my way, leave me alone. I got things to do. Don't you have anything to do with yourself? You know, go do something, right? And so, because they're up early, right? Not too many people I know that are over the age of 70 that sleep past 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. There's a few, but assuming they're...
Unless you take drugs, maybe then, you know.
Otherwise, that's true. That's true any age, Jack.
Well, that's true.
Right. But yeah, well, and wait a minute. What 70-year-old do you know that's not in drugs of some type and kind? Are you, you're meaning illicit drugs? Is that what you're talking about? Because that's part of what
Romeos. To sleep in. That's where you get to sleep in past 6 or 7.
Okay. But so they're up, right? It's what you think too. That didn't make the list, Jack. Was like, hey, I'm going to sleep. That was maybe number 6 or number 7. That's what I'll do when I'm. That's what I do next. I'll sleep. Get caught up in all the sleep I lost over the last 30 years of running the company. But it's, again, the idea of also, I'm going to spend all kinds of time with my spouse, or I'm going to travel around. Again, these are ideas that you've had, and I guess let me phrase it from this standpoint. Your life post-owning the business shouldn't be that drastically different. That's kind of the theme I'm kind of getting at here a little bit, Jack, right? So... Again, so if you spend some time volunteering while you're working, okay, you should still spend some time volunteering probably. Is it maybe a little bit more? Maybe it was a couple hours a week. Maybe does it go to 5 hours a week? Okay, maybe, right? You should be spending some time with your spouse, right? Because often if you aren't, and I know too many of us have seen this where all of a sudden, maybe I had a quote-unquote successful business, but all of a sudden I'm on my second or third marriage, right? Because I haven't been a good spouse. In terms of spending some time with my wife or my husband or significant other, whatever it might be, but I haven't maybe necessarily been the best partner from that standpoint, Or again, if you aren't used to spending time with your kids or your grandkids, whatever it might be, now you got all this kind of free time. They're going, hey, that was kind of cool for a day or an afternoon or a weekend perhaps. And now it's like, Grandma have something else to do, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's tough to relate to a little kid. You love them like mad, but you love them like mad for a little while.
Right.
And like anybody, we all have our lives. And our spouses, our partners, everyone, they have their life. They may not have retired. They got their routines to go through. Now they got to accommodate somebody who doesn't have the old routine that was adapted to. So they're starting out new. And really, you're literally, even if you do have a plan, to do travel, and you can only do those things so much. That's why it's a very difficult, not necessarily envious, very difficult to retire.
See, I'm thinking of other stupid things, Jack, like playing golf all the time.
Playing golf. These are things that you say as you're getting near retirement, and if you have a little send-off party, everyone is saying, hey, they'll give you a little gift with a golf club or a dozen balls or whatever the heck you get for retirement gifts today. And, you know, with the idea that, boy, that's what I'm going to do, play bad golf for the rest of my life, right? Because not many people are two handicaps at 75 years old.
That's right. Sign me up for that, right? So yeah, you know, if you aren't doing those things, you mentioned travel. So if you haven't been traveling, that's probably a reason why you haven't been traveling. You probably don't like it that much, right? It's probably not some of the thing you do. So all of a sudden, you're not going to flip a switch when you exit the business where all of a sudden, hey, that's going to be a wonderful thing to do all of a sudden, right? Or if you haven't been involved in another business, maybe, you know, because a lot of entrepreneurs we know, Jack, are involved in many companies at once. And so if you're really that one at a time thing, you might be able to kind of get it started because, again, that's what you've known. So.
Well, wait, you're not retired anymore if you're starting a business.
Well, you're exiting the current business, what we're talking about. So we have some better answers, perhaps, Jack, and we have some other stories and stuff. And I want to help people understand, you know, you might have guessed, folks, I'm listening to Jack. Jack's tried this a couple of times. I want to talk a little about Jack's twice failed retirements, and we can talk about that as well as a bunch of other stories here when we come back. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets, small business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
So don't defy Mother Nature's wind.
Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
Hello, Adam. I'm Jack Mancini.
Tonight we're talking about how do you figure out what to do next, and we're really focusing more so on the exit of the business. So what do you do next? And we spent some time kind of framing some options, and we talked in the last segment about some of the top answers we hear, but they're really some of the dumbest answers we hear in terms of what you would do next, and kind of debunk those a little bit. And it comes from a lot of experience. And I was alluding on the way out to break that Jack's a two-time failed retiree.
Uh-oh.
As you can tell that he's here, right? He's not really good at retiring.
That's right.
Right? Kind of like the comment you made, Jack, where you said, okay, well, if I'm going to leave this and go to another business, I'm not really retiring, right?
That's right.
And
that's what it is.
That's true. So, but why don't you give our audience a little background, Jack, in terms of why I say you're... Because, again, you're proud of this. It's not like I'm trying to shame you to say you're a failed twice retiree. It's not a badge of shame. It's kind of a badge of honor. You've tried to do it. But, you know, talk about a little bit of the things that you went through, because we touched on some of those things, I think, probably in the last segment. But give people a little sense of that.
Well, at a very young age, I kind of wrapped up my career with big corporations. I was a vice president of a public company. And I was asked to move to Canada as president of our facility up there. Or not more than a facility. We sold all over the country in a manufacturing company. And I was offered this by a company that had paid me well for several years. I liked the relationships. They liked the relationship with me. We had a very good situation going on. And they offered me the Canadian operation. And I said, you know, guys, it's time for me to quit. I was 39, maybe 40. I can't remember now. Memory starts to escape you after you retire. but I was relatively young, and I decided I didn't really want to go to Canada. In fact, I didn't really want to work with big corporations anymore. And it was nothing other than I didn't want to do it. And I don't have a reason even to this day. But I was, you know, in a good position where I could take some time off, and I did. I retired, and it ultimately turned out to be taking a year off. And I call that retirement, because that's really what retirement feels like and looks like. And during that year, I met people who I hadn't talked to in 10 years, maybe more. I had a few job offers. I'm searching around, chasing my wife around, probably making her life semi-miserable, although she'd never really admit that. Doing the things that retired people do. You know, I had no real direction, and it was okay. And I say that in all honesty. It's a very good time, as Adam said, to reflect, and I had lots of reflection time. We did some stuff that we, being my wife and I, did some stuff that basically, you know, we've been putting off. I'm not a handy guy, so I wouldn't have all these big work projects here. Golf, I'm a lousy golfer. I don't have hobbies. I'm kind of a boring guy, so...
Well, you're describing most business owners, Jack.
I know. Once they leave their particular business or profession, all of a sudden these things come home to bear. To your point with volunteerism. You know, I did a little volunteering, but I wasn't a big volunteer guy. You know, I liked doing business. I liked it. But I didn't like it so much that I didn't want to break from it. There's a lot of depth to all this stuff. Should you ever meet me over drinks, I can give you some good insight. But anyway, I consider that a retirement for a year.
So let me pause it there because I want to come back to some of the things we've talked about, right? So you're at that age, or let's say you're 40 years old. So you're young enough to, you know, we were talking about some of the dumb ideas before, right? Like spending more time with your spouse and your kids. Your kids were pretty young at that point, right? They're maybe teenagers or 10 years old or whatever. Again, so they were younger. You probably traveled a little bit, maybe took a few vacations, checked some stuff out. You know, so you tried some of the stuff, but again, you were young enough. Things were kind of going on. You could actually probably do some of those things. So I guess I would call that, Jack. That's almost like a best case scenario, right? In terms of you have the ability to do that stuff, and you're young enough and healthy enough to kind of do that stuff. So it could be okay.
That's living the dream, isn't it?
Right. But it only lasted for a year. So I guess what I would term that. That's you retiring from corporate America. How about that?
Okay, that's a valid way to
put it. Is that a good way to put it?
Right.
All right, so you got your, you know, 15, 18 years in corporate America. You had that. You're now retired from that. You didn't know that at the time, but as we look back now, look at it. That's, okay, here, you retired from that world. So after a year, though, you were doing a bunch of stuff during that year. So what happened?
Getting restless, but not knowing what restless is. In other words, I had to latch on to something. And again, I say that without saying that there was a lot of pressure, because there wasn't pressure. But what I was able to do is discover the small business world, which I didn't know. I'm a blue-collar kind of guy, raised that way. And, you know, here I'm as a vice president of a public company, flitting around with fancy suits and a lifestyle.
That's right, people. You heard suit and ties. Jack used to wear 35. That's probably enough to make you do it.
It's hard to see that.
You retired from that.
That was
wearing
one
suits
of the drivers.
That's right.
But one of the guys who I went to business school with, we created a little company to broker natural gas. And I ended up meeting a small business owner. And I love the guy. I absolutely love what he was doing. And the whole idea of small business, and I got involved with consulting with small businesses. And before you know it, my partner with the gas, we split. And here I have a new profession, a new love, and that is dealing with small businesses. And that was like 30 years ago, and I haven't stopped since.
There's a second one there, but before.
Oh yeah, I know. No, okay. No, well, you're right.
But
you're,
before I get that, I want. This is good. You're talking about.
You know my story better than me. Thank you.
That's okay. I'm just trying to keep you on track as you're talking. There's some interesting points that I think they're interesting. I want to kind of make, because one of the things you did during that year off, you didn't kind of say it this way, but I know what you're doing is you're connecting with some people.
Right.
Okay, with some people you may have said that a little earlier, but just to chat. You're connecting with people you hadn't seen in a little while. Maybe, you said it's been 5, 10, 15 years, but you're reaching out, you're going through your Rolodex at that point. For those of you who are a little younger, a Rolodex was this thing that had like, it was paper and had
contact lists.
Yeah, it had people's names written on it, where their business cards were stapled to it, right? It's before the smartphone existed and the contact list, guys, is what it was. So he's going through the Rolodex, you're calling people, not with anything in mind, per se. Right, it wasn't like, hey, I got this business idea, this great idea. Just let me kind of get caught up with people, see where people are at. And so you did something that I think it's a key word that we probably want to build upon here, Jack, which is you engaged.
You key engaged, word is right. That's the secret to all this stuff.
Because you mentioned starting this company with your old B-School buddy. Again, that wasn't the results of some deep thinking. It was the results of probably too many drinks the one night, and you guys said, let's start a company.
That's exactly what happened. Like, what? What do we have to lose? It sounds like fun. We could probably make some money and help people out. I mean, what more do you want?
Right? I don't think better to do, because I've been trying all this other stuff for the last year and nothing else has worked out. So I'm going to check my calendar. Yeah, you know, I'm pretty free the next couple of years. Let's try starting this company. Why not, right?
That's exactly what it comes down to. Why not? And quite frankly, more people many people, if they really examine what they're doing, they could start businesses and they could make a transition too. We won't get into that. That's a discussion for another day.
But that's I guess to me that may be the number one point to make here is, you know, get out there and talk to some people, right?
Right.
And engage with people. Right?
You see so many things that you otherwise miss on your day-to-day, you know, drive to the job, drive to the office. You know, these kind of things get so routine, and you get into a routine that basically you're not engaged. And life is very rich. There's so much, just so much to experience. And, you know, when you take that attitude, life's kind of fun. I don't see how you can sort of, sort of form around the drain pool here and wait till you go down the drain. You know, keep fighting, keep swinging, keep doing stuff. Anyway, I'm wandering off preaching again here.
No, so you said you discovered small business. You really hadn't been exposed to it. You fell in love with it almost immediately. So it's one of those things that you didn't even know about it, but you went out there and all of a sudden engaged and you met some folks. You said, hey, wait a minute. Here's a place that I didn't even know existed, but I'm tremendously comfortable. I love this place. It's a good place to kind of be. And so...
And I was made aware of my skill level, which was very high. Hmm. And I never understood that. I never understood it because I never pondered it. All of a sudden, I can go into a small business, and I knew exactly what to do to help them out. And to Adam, your point about engaging, it isn't with our coaching here. You know, we know what to do. It's the owner of the business themselves don't engage, don't change. But that's, again, I mean, there's multiple stories here that are going on at once. But so I'm in love with small businesses, and I ended up buying 5 troubled companies and turning them around.
Not all at once, but
yeah, over the years, over right, several yeah. years. And after I sold one, the last one, I took another year off, and I call that a retirement again.
That's the second retirement. Come back to what I mentioned earlier. This is retirement number 2. So if didn't do it right the first time, didn't stick the first time. So we'll try it a second time.
Right.
How'd that go?
That one went the same way.
So I
took time off to work with a congressman, raising money with him, got in touch with continued number of people. And during the fundraising episode with the congressman, I met a number of people, and one was an attorney, and we formed another company, a nonprofit, that taught patients how to deal with their doctors. And, you know, the point I'm making on this is that I started a number of little companies, and it's not hard to do. It really isn't hard to do if you test yourself and you engage, if you go out and engage. It's easy when you don't have any schedule in front of you during the day. Certainly it's easy. It's a little more difficult if you're trying to do it on a job, but you can do it. So I retired twice. I retired the second time, again, raising money with the congressman. I consider that part of my retirement.
I was going to draw attention to that, Jack. You said, I retired. I was working, raising money for a congressman. I know you spent some time in D.C. with them. Again, so your idea of retirement was still probably working, you know, 60, 70-hour weeks.
Absolutely,
and stuff.
Right. Absolutely. Come home and tell Alice that, you know, I'm going to take off for the next 3 months. I don't know. I'm going to chase you around and go shopping with you and do whatever we have to do, ruin her routine. You know, now I'll start something else. And I tried golfing, worked with a golf pro, could never golf, so I finally quit golf. But I tried a bunch of things. There's so much to do. And if you test yourself and engage people and just, you know, don't take a defeatist, can't-do attitude, retirement can be fun. I mean, you can banish that word. It's kind of a silly word because you want to be active doing something and not things like, you know, it sounds like we're knocking. I guess maybe we are to some degree. People who aren't retired and dealing with this are the ones who advise people who are retiring. So, you know, go learn finger painting or go, you know, who wants to do that, you know?
When we come back after break here, we're up against our last break here, Jack. We'll come back and kind of give some different guidance or advice and share some more stories about this, too, in terms of what should be done. So stick around. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini. 440-946. 7820.
Stay tuned. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
All around my hometown,
they're trying to track. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And we appreciate you being part of the show tonight and, you know, listening to what we're talking about tonight, which is to help you figure out what do you do next. And, again, we're focusing this on people who are going to be exiting the business, but it's never too soon to think about this. And Jack, in the last segment, you shared some great details about what you did in terms of why you're a two-time failed retiree and why that's okay. And, again, we would view that as a success story, not as a failure, because – we're learning about what makes people, you know, enjoy life. People all say, why don't you just go be happy? Do what you enjoy, everything else. Well, as an owner of a business, chances are the thing you enjoy the most, or one of the things you enjoy the most, is your business.
Great point. Right? Even with down times and big problem times, you enjoy your business. Absolutely.
So there are a couple of things that I was scribbling out here, Jack, as I was trying to think about it. You know, we made the point in terms of some good things. We gave some kind of what we think are bad answers for what people should do when they're retiring. Let me kind of go back and circle back with a couple of things that I jotted down during our last segment here about what makes it for good things. And we touched on this in the last segment a little bit about getting out there and engaging, especially with people, talking to some people. So go through your Rolodex. Go talk to some people that maybe you haven't talked to in a while. Just kind of get out there and see what's going on, see what people are doing, and explore. And that's something that's good to do all the time. You don't need to wait until you're exited out of the business and you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs. It's a good thing you can do almost any time. So that's a good thing to do. The second thing I jotted down, Jack, touched on politics. Well, something that's very big for you, and it's something that we talked to but just about all of our clients about in terms of ways to get involved, things to be able to kind of do. And you talk about that with the idea of working with the U.S. congressman. And some of the insights you gained of just, you know, not only how that campaigning works, how that works, I'll call that a business, right, in terms of how they have the three different offices between.
It's very, very true.
What goes on, and you got some insights in terms of why the government, the federal government here in the U.S. is the way it is and kind of what some of the challenges are, but you got a great insight into that. And you did that not because you did it on purpose, because you're out talking to people and just it started having something that you found of interest to you. It maybe always been of interest to you, but you hadn't had a chance to maybe spend time because you had done some stuff with politics before. But now you had some more time to kind of put to it, but you'd never dedicated the amount of time you maybe dedicated there. So that was kind of neat and interesting, but it also, it wasn't like all of a sudden you wanted to run for office. You met somebody else, and all of a sudden led to you getting back into, well, starting the nonprofit, starting MVP, doing other businesses stuff that kind of came. MSM, there's a bunch of stuff that's happened. There's a lot of companies you started after that, after your second retirement that came out, because
you're engaging
with people, right?
Engaging is the key word.
The third thing we talked about, which, again, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just it's often more difficult, which is I'll call it maybe trying to find a hobby. So you pick golf. Golf's a popular example. There's one of the current guys in Rotary I know, he actually picked up rock climbing at age 60 because of his son. That's kind of more unique because he said he had to stop playing soccer, and he said, hey, Dad, the rocks don't move. Why don't you try rock climbing? He said, okay. But trying some different hobbies, right? And we've seen some folks do that, and it works for folks. I know a guy that retired probably 4 years ago, and he does woodworking every day now. He goes to a local community center, and they have stuff there, and he loves it. He spends 30 hours a week doing woodworking stuff because it's a great thing for him. He really enjoys it. I say, more power to you. That's fantastic. But that's more the exception we find versus the rule, because most owners don't have hobbies.
That's right. Their business is their hobby.
That's right.
Their business is their life.
Another one people think about that might not be a bad idea is you move. Pick up and move somewhere else. And I think a lot of people think about that. Hey, you know, especially folks who for some reason don't like the snow and the change of seasons here in the Cleveland area, Jack. They want to move out west or down south somewhere or wherever it might be where, hey, it's nicer all the time. And so that might work too, and that might actually be a good thing because it changes so much in your world that it might work out pretty well for you. So that's another option that might help because it's going to cleanse the palate, so to speak, if you have a fresh start and things kind of going on, right, to a certain extent.
Correct.
But the last thing I put down here, I'll come back, is something we talked about the last time, which was the getting involved in another business. This really came up, you know, I was joking last week. We had a client, one of our first clients, who sold his first business about 4 or 5 years ago. But as part of the last probably 10 years or so of owning his company, he was working through a transition in terms of what he was doing. And he had become a gentleman farmer, and he was doing some stuff with land acquisition, and he was doing some oil and gas stuff. But the reason it came back up is last week I got an email from them. They're celebrating their 15th year in business with this farm. I couldn't believe it had been that long, but, you know, time goes by. Where, again, this was just kind of we were joking. It was a gentleman farmer. Started out with, you know, with a couple of chickens and a pig, right, and some land, right? It was just something to kind of keep busy. But now here they are, and as they're presenting it, if you didn't know any better, you'd think that this was a $10 million business, right? Because it's professionally presented. It's presented like a business, the way it's done. And again, it's a business. So here he was, and again, he says he has no interest in getting back into business, but yet, yet here he is in business, right?
What's he doing?
And it's not uncommon. You know, my dad retired 3 years ago, and you know, he still does a few things for the old business. You know, we're involved in a company together with him, obviously, Jack. He does some volunteering work, and he got involved with a group called SCORE recently too, to kind of spend some time. And he's very aware. Now, even though he and my mother worked together for almost 40 years, day in and day out, they had very different roles in the company, so they weren't necessarily together all the time. And so they appreciate and understand that they can't necessarily be together all the time. But they've tried some of these things too. They tried to do some of the travel, and some things kind of come up, it didn't work.
Plus, your dad's a big volunteer guy.
Yeah, but he's always been that way.
Right.
To your point, he's always been that way. He had golfed a lot, but he's kind of backed off that. It's more, you know, he likes to golf with me and my brother and my son. Well, you know, for that, not just to golf, but he's doing it to spend time with, you know, with people.
Right.
Like that. So he's finding different things, but he's continuing to kind of search out there, talking to people. He's out there. He's very engaged with stuff. You know, but the idea of like a Romeo group has no interest for him. Right. He's aware of him, but he's like, yeah, that's not where he is. He's not a social animal that way either. Naturally, in terms of he does stuff with a purpose usually. Right. And I think that's where most owners are. So you look at those kind of things, it can become very, very, very difficult. So there are a lot of folks that are wrestling with these things. You know, we gave a few examples, but we have so many others. You know, as you're thinking about what kind of goes on, if you don't know what you want to do, and you're currently owning a company, and you're thinking about maybe it's transitioning to family members, maybe it's transitioning to some of your managers who are there, because you don't have family in the business, but you're thinking about that. Well, if that thought's going through your head, one of the first things you should be doing, and most people do not talk this way, but one of the first things you should be doing is figuring out, okay, what are you going to do after that? After you exit the business, after you sell the business, or after you turn it over to somebody else, what are you going to do? Because I'm here to tell you, folks, if you don't have the answer to that question, you are going to be in the way. You're going to be in the way of that next generation feeling comfortable that they can step up and do things. You're going to be in the way because you aren't going to be sure how to get out of the way, and even if you're trying to be helpful and do things, and again, your heart's in the right place, but it can be very frustrating and challenging, and it's not a place that anybody wants to be. But it comes from, again, people not necessarily giving a lot of thought to this stuff. Going back to that list we shared about kind of the bad answers, Jack, those are just kind of off-the-cuff answers that people haven't really investigated or even had the benefit of what you had, Jack, and it's something you encourage people to do is take a year off. Take a year off and try this. If you think what you want to do is travel, take a year off and travel. Travel and see what it's like. Do you really like doing that? Or are you 2 weeks into it and go, I can't wait to get home. This is driving me crazy.
Do it before you get locked into your job. Or you have a good enough job where you can do that. I mean, that's the reality of it all. Most people are boxed in with debt and the grand life that marketing has told everyone to live for the last 100 years. Right. And it's not cracked up to be. You gotta have that freedom to do it. But it's exhilarating. It ultimately, in retrospect, it's exhilarating.
Yeah, but as the owner, we're talking about the owners here, Jack. If you're a controller of your company, if you want to take some time to kind of do that, to explore these kind of things. Take some time to purposely, again, from our standpoint, to purposely reach out to people. Let me come back to one of the key points of your story, Jack, about engaging with people. People who you know, to kind of get there and talk about stuff, because you'll have some real conversations with those people about what's going on. If you're struggling with stuff, they'll try to help you. They'll share what they're doing. They'll have the ideas that you and Jim did to go into business together. Even, you know, it wasn't necessarily the purpose of your dinner, but that's what came out of it, because you had a very good open discussion. You were both ready for it at that point. There's no telling what's going to happen. But you got to be active and wrestling with this stuff versus putting it off to the side, pushing it back through. Hey, I'll deal with it when it happens, or I'll have time for that once we get the deal done. Because I'm here to tell you, we've seen it too many times happen where the owner is in the way of that deal getting done, and because they aren't sure what they're going to step into next.
That's right.
It's very, very tough. And so, like I said, we have lots of different stories with this, but we know it's a common challenge. That's what we do here on Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We like to share what's going on and things that people don't necessarily talk about in the light of day, because that's what Dirty Secrets is all about. And as it always happens, Jack, it's the fastest hour in radio and podcast sphere. And we do appreciate you listening to this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. So you catch us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you want to get a hold of us in between, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. If you missed any of today's show, any prior shows, you can catch them all on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or go to your favorite podcast player, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever it might be, and subscribe to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. It'll be delivered right to your smart device. And please leave a review if you do. That'd be fantastic. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.